This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Your guest is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and you just heard Owen there referencing the character of Marina Abramović and how her artistic skills apparently prepare her to be an ambassador. But I think this suggests something that I think really vindicates what we've been talking about for a long time, which is that, you know, the arts aren't really separate, unfortunately, from the deep state or from the super state. The arts have always been a tool for the power structure, for the regime, for geopolitics even, to push a form of what we call soft power. And this is probably one of the greatest examples of modern history I could think of. I mean, next to this would be the 60s counterculture. And even before the 60s counterculture, we had, for example, when we covered the Johann Rautio book on the Milner and Fabian history, their collusion together between the Milner circle and the Fabian socialists to utilize the arts. Even in the 1890s, they were using and pioneering the idea of brutality, even bestiality, all kinds of bizarre things in the arts to push in the culture of Britain at that time, in the late 1890s, as a way to social engineer, to change the existing culture. It's a kind of aesthetic warfare, they call it, to brutalize the public through really bizarre and you could argue even demonic forms of so-called art. It's not really art because art and aesthetics is just a fancy philosophy term for the theory of art, the philosophy of art, what is the good, what is the beautiful, goes back to the ancient Greek philosophers. And in classic and medieval aesthetic theory, at least in Western philosophy, medieval philosophy, the idea is that you would have order, harmony, proportion, symmetry, those would all be necessary to something beautiful, a great symphony, a statue, a carving, a cathedral, right? These would all be manifestations of these principles of the arts. And the weaponization of art, which really started, as we said, with the Fabian socialists in the 1890s, and then picked up in the 1930s, 20s and 30s, the German Expressionist movement, where they began to really experiment with a lot of the satanic in the arts openly. Expressionist film was very involved in this, especially in Germany in the 1920s. And then we get the later manifestations in Hollywood in the 1960s. You could argue even before that, perhaps. But we have in the counterculture this movement that a lot of people don't know about, which is called the Congress for Cultural Freedom. And this was a CIA front now admitted across many academic texts, including Francis Denner Saunders' book about the Cultural Cold War. There's a whole chapter on it in the classic book on Operation Mockingbird, The Mighty Wurlitzer, How the CIA Played America. And this, of course, deals with people like Frank Wisner. It deals with Alan Dulles, and it deals with people like Cord Meyer, people that tie into a lot of the black ops, the drug running that we know about through Operation Gladio, for example. But in The Mighty Wurlitzer, we have sections where people were recruited to be the CIA's face of the arts. And the idea, the argumentation, the logic here was, well, we had to combat Soviet realism in the arts. And because of Soviet realism, and prior to that, because of Nazi fascism, different forms of the arts were 100% utilized and experimented with to see how they would be culture-driving powers, how they would be culture effects. And this goes on a global scale, even to the point where French deconstructionists, poets, weirdos, French Jesuits are included in this, Derrida, these kinds of people. This is all public record, right, as part of the Congress for Cultural Freedom, as well as other operations going on. And the idea was, how far and what could we promote in the arts with this idea of absolute freedom? And that would then give us a wedge culturally as a form of soft power against the Soviet approach, again, which is focused on Soviet cosmism, Soviet realism, all these kinds of artistic movements in Eurasia. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss Marina Abramović and her...
The most powerful InfoWars life formula yet. DNA Force Plus is now back in stock for 25% off while supplies last. This elite formula contains the most cutting-edge enzymes, potent antioxidants, and traditional naturally occurring ingredients to protect the vitality of your very DNA. The powerhouse ingredients in DNA Force Plus include QQQ, CoQ10, organic reishi mushroom, astragalus root, rhodiola root, and an array of even more incredible antioxidants and extracts carefully chosen to help support healthy heart function while promoting energy production down to the cellular level. Provide your cells and DNA with the protection they need and try a bottle of DNA Force Plus today for 25% off or for an additional 10% off, grab the combo pack with DNA Force Plus and Body Soul Support. These offers and so much more are only available at InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We're kind of giving the background, the big picture, as to why somebody like Marina Abramović would be considered as an ambassador, as a Wolf ambassador. And it has to do with the older model that the West and the CIA utilized in, as we said, the World War II period, when the Frankfurt School was brought over by the Rockefeller Foundation and by Bertrand Russell and others who wanted to weaponize and utilize their approach to culture critique or Kulturkritik and use that as a way to combat fascism and Nazism. Then after that, the same approach to using the arts was done against the Soviets during the Cold War. So you had this creation of this entity called the Congress for Cultural Freedom, and it had a bunch of satellite magazines and student organizations. And the idea was total freedom would have to be pushed in the arts to combat the ideology of Soviet cosmism and realism that Stalin and others were pushing. And again, this is what we call soft power. Soft power refers to cultural influence through pushing ideas and ideologies. For example, America, Americanism, pushing American ideas in other countries through Hollywood. Hollywood is a classic form of soft power and cultural influence. And when it comes to the notion of the arts, as we said, at that time you had a lot of famous figures that were getting money and were funded by the CIA front. Doesn't mean that Jackson Pollock and Andy Warhol were secret CIA agents. They don't have to know who's funding their artworks or what the cutout is that's really pushing a lot of this. And it wasn't just abstract and degenerate art. It was also classical symphonies, this kind of, anything that would project the ideas of Western civilization. But the problem is that they started, as I said, experimenting with pushing postmodern art and really wild abstract art and the idea that there's no order, symmetry, boundaries. It's absolute and unbounded freedom. And ironically, even Ayn Rand, of all people, had a really interesting critique of this, which you might think, well, Ayn Rand's kind of a classic libertarian-minded person. Wouldn't she support this against the Soviet approach? Well, even she realized in her book on aesthetic theory, which I actually recommend, it's really good, she has all the same critiques that you just heard me make. She talks about how aesthetic theory, for example, can't be divorced from order, harmony, symmetry, principles of geometry, right? You can't remove those from the arts. For example, music, right? If music doesn't follow certain orders and patterns, right, it becomes cacophonous. It becomes noise. But that's exactly what happens to music over the decades after after the Cultural Revolution. Music becomes more and more degraded, more and more noise, more and more cacophony, and more based around social engineering and programming, right? It's debased, and it's done that. It's debased on purpose, and this is what so many people have a hard time understanding. They can't figure out. They think that this is too conspiratorial, even though it's in all of these books. It's not even up for debate. I mean, you can go all the way back to ancient empires. Go back to Plato. Plato talks about the need to, I think it's the dialogue is Ion. And then there's another in the Republic. He says that the artists have to be censored and have to be controlled by the state because the power of art is such that it can foment or foster revolution. That means that the state or the super state can study it and also weaponize it. And that's exactly what happened in the 20th century with many of these movements, such as Frankfurt School, such as what the CIA is doing with the Congress for Cultural Freedom. And so now you have this technology of utilizing the arts. And so fast forward to what we have then today with the much touted WikiLeaks revelation of spirit cooking with Marina Abramović, which, if you remember, in the she did a Reddit AMA, and she did explain that her perspective on spirit cooking was that it was a kind of intentional magical operation or using the will to affect what you would like to happen in the world. She cited kind of Crowleyan type, Aleister Crowley type stuff. As her view of what performance art is and what art so-called is. And that's where we begin to see all of these manifestations of the bizarre in the arts. And it gets weirder and weirder and weirder because the idea is that arts are really the forefront of culture revolution to remove all boundaries. So what is art? Simply the removal of boundaries, simply the transgression of all boundaries. And so it can no longer be about beauty, symmetry, order, harmony, synthesis, symphonia, etc. It can't be about that anymore. It has to be about the perpetual pushing the envelope and new levels of shock and awe. And so this means then that there is no such thing as art. Anything is potentially art, and then nothing is art. And so it really just becomes this front, I guess you could say, because this is why, by the way, a lot of the art world, the high art world, is famously known to be a vehicle for a bunch of money laundering. You know, you have drawings of garbage, pieces of trash, bananas taped to a wall that sells for $1 million, right? Well, that's just quite obviously a way to avoid taxes and this kind of stuff. And pretty much there's famous documentaries on Netflix that have delved into this for years. So it's very well known that the art world is a front, the high art world is a front for this kind of stuff. But it's not just that. When we get into a lot of these famous artists like this that are operating at an international level, like Marina Abramović, I mean, she's kind of had this stepping into the statecraft geopolitical world for many years as well. If I recall, she had some previous connection to traveling under the State Department's purview or something like this. I don't remember exactly all the details, but I think that came out a couple of years ago. So it's not surprising that she would be tasked with a job or a role like this because she not only is a kind of a culture driver, because as you can see, she hangs out with the biggest celebrities in the world. And so that's also very useful for, for spy work. Now, I don't know that she's a spy for sure. I'm just saying that you can see that the usefulness of a position like this to intelligence agencies. It ties into what we talked about for so long on my channel in terms of famous celebrities recruited into intelligence agencies and spy work. Again, I don't know that Marina Abramović is, quote, a spy, but again, she doesn't have to be recruited into working at some high level of, a government type of position. And that's what we see now. Now that this is literally coming out, she's actually being, picked for these kinds of roles. And it's nothing new. If you remember, and if you go to my channel on YouTube, I did a video of Hollywood spies, famous people in the history of Hollywood who were recruited into doing just this kind of work. And it's all well documented in public, verifiable history texts, not conspiracy books, just public history. For example, we think of the most famous Norwegian actress during World War II. Her name was Sonja Vigert. There's a movie called Spy on Amazon. I recommend going and watching it because what you'll notice is that the most famous actress was actually recruited by her government into having to spy. They more or less forced her into this. She had to sleep with the Nazi high command to be a kind of a sex operative or a honey trap. And she didn't have any choice about it because they said, if you don't, your dad remains in jail. We're going to keep them in jail until you do this. And again, I highly recommend go watch the movie Spy on Amazon with the story of Sonja Wiegert. It's a really well done foreign film. Ben Affleck has made famous comments publicly that the CIA and Hollywood are flip sides of the same coin. Houdini famously worked in an intelligence capacity, I believe for Interpol, if I'm going from memory. Jimmy Stewart famously worked with the FBI as part of the FBI's anti-communist efforts in Hollywood. Julia Child, the famous TV cook, worked for the OSS. Errol Flynn supposedly was a Hollywood spy for Hitler, had Hitler sympathies, or at least he was suspected of that. And then they asked, the OSS asked Cary Grant to spy on Errol Flynn, or perhaps whatever was prior to the OSS, the Inquiry or something like this. Ian Fleming famously was British intelligence and worked closely with Hollywood on the entire James Bond saga. Christopher Lee, famous assassin for the, I think the RAF or RAS, I forget exactly, British assassin. Walt Disney worked with the CIA and FBI. So then none of this is surprising. When we come back, we'll discuss more of this on the
Extend Your Life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Getting into the history of the connection between the arts and the power elite, or the deep state, or the shadow government, or whatever terms you want to use, the powers that be, the oligarchy, how the arts have always been seen as a necessary tool to manage, to control, to utilize, and to weaponize, to really prop up the power structure's approach to project, as we said, soft power. And most people just think this is implausible. They don't think it exists. But it's amazing how much of the academic literature actually does discuss this, and it's pretty easy to verify. And we were listing a few examples. I mentioned Cary Grant and people like that being asked to spy on Errol Flynn. There's the case of John Huston and the famous director and his ties to the OSS. Billy Wilder, for example, worked closely with C.D. Jackson. C.D. Jackson was closely connected to the emergence of the alien and UFO phenomenon in the 1950s and various Hollywood movies that would project this imagery and this idea into the consciousness of the outworld invaders and the space invaders. I mentioned Ian Fleming, his connections to the whole Bond franchise, the deep state. I mean, he's the founder of the Bond franchise. He was a high-level British intelligence. We've mentioned Christopher Lee and his work as an assassin. We talked about Noel Coward in the past. Again, people in the circles of British intelligence and the irregulars, the famous actor and author. I didn't mention Frank Sinatra. Sinatra was, of course, known for his connections to the organized crime world, but also known as an FBI asset and informant as well. A lot of people don't know that Audrey Hepburn was a famous informer and tried to help anti-fascist resistance movements, and so she had a degree of spying as well. And this led to her going on to being engaged in United Nations work later on in her career. Marlene Dietrich, as we said, the famous actress from Germany, was a suspected Nazi spy, but the story apparently is that she wanted to spy for the U.S., and so she would kind of give secrets to the OSS. She would leak things. But at the same time as she was leaking things to the OSS, she was suspected by the FBI of being a spy. Many, many other cases of this. The list just goes on and on. And you know, it didn't end in the Cold War, right? It wasn't something ended there. But when you get up to the end of the Cold War, interestingly, there were a lot of known CIA operations, like the event of is it Tesla? I always forget these boomer rock bands, the ballad bands that I get mixed up. Winds of Change, right? This big event that happened at the fall of the Berlin Wall. That was all actually a CIA project. Even The Guardian has reported on this as a form of media and cultural warfare. And it's not any different with the way that the CIA utilized John Paul II. They would actually shoot a lot of symbolic photos of John Paul in certain places and certain poses as a kind of media and symbolic warfare. That's covered in John Kaler's book on the relationship between the Vatican and the KGB and what spies had infiltrated the Vatican during the Cold War. And so this shows us, again, that there's not a divorce between these worlds that most people think are not connected. It's so well documented in the literature. Even mainline documentaries will cover this stuff. But again, people just don't know about it. They're ignorant of it. And their first gut reaction when we start talking about this is that they think you're crazy or they think it's a conspiracy theory. But no, it's all very well documented, and it has a long history. Countless books, lives of people from Hollywood, right? Their biographies come out with this amazing information down the road. So I want to fast forward then to the case of the degenerate art that we see in Marina Abramović. Again, it's clearly a form of cultural warfare. And it's something that, unfortunately, the West allied itself to since the time of the Cold War and the Congress for Cultural Freedom and pushing all of this just outlandish, bizarre, disgusting art. There's really no reason that we have to be aligned with this. And many people are rejecting it. And the weird part is that anytime you reject this kind of stuff and you want the beauty of Renaissance art or medieval art or cathedrals or whatever, oh, you're a fascist, you see. All this is tied to fascism. And there's actually a reason for this, because one of the famous modern semioticians, Umberto Eco, who left his Catholic faith and became, I don't know if he's become an atheist or an occultist or something, but I read many of his books over the years. And he noted the deep connection between the true liberal has to oppose not just political power structures, but what he says is truth itself. It's a famous essay he wrote called Ur-Fascism. And he says that the ultimate fascism that has to be opposed is any notions of truth at all, at all. Divine truth, objective truth, political truth, philosophical truth. Truth has to be warred against because there's no such thing as truth. That is the true fascism, according to Umberto Eco, the famous essay. It's called Ur-Fascism. And he's really just echoing, I guess what you could say, is the postmodern, true revolutionary liberal approach. That then means that anybody who believes there's such a thing as truth, there's such a thing as objective morals, objective right and wrong, such a thing as beauty in the arts at all, there's such a thing as good, better, best, worst, those are value judgments in political systems or philosophies or economics, that has to be warred against, that there is a God, that's objectively the case, any kind of transcendence, all of those things, according to what he outlines as true liberalism, true radical liberalism, that has to be fought against. And there's no place at which you can grant common ground or, quote, objectivity or truth. So when we try to understand why today's so-called left does what it does, you have to understand that's its operating system. There is no truth. There is no beauty. There is no good. There is none of those things. And that anyone who proposes that those things are the case are the enemy and must be warred against. So as long as you keep thinking that you can find common ground or that you can placate these kinds of people, it's never going to happen because they have a completely different philosophical orientation from their chief thinkers, you see. And so many people in the so-called conservative right-wing world, they're completely idiots and they don't understand what they're up against. And they continually lose because they keep trying to fight their battles on the same plane as their opponents. They keep assuming common ground. They keep assuming that they're going to operate on the principles of honor and honesty and freedom and truth and dignity. And they don't believe that. Those things don't exist, you see. For them, those things are pure power relations, power dynamics. So everything is oppressor oppressed. There's no such thing as logic. Logic is a tool that the power structure, whether economic or establishment or whatever, political, it's just used. That's a tool that's used. It's not something that's objectively the case. It's a tool that you use to browbeat and destroy people. So this is the real motivation of cancel culture. Cancel culture is a war, and we're going to get into the Russell Brand thing here in the next segment. Cancel culture is a war predicated on pure power dynamics, which is ironic because that's almost Nietzschean, which you would think is against the leftist position, but no, actually many of them are pure pragmatic power political people. Everything is oppressor oppressed, master-slave dynamics. It's ultimately Nietzschean in its motivations, and that's why Nietzscheanism and postmodernism have quite a bit in common. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere.
The satanic New World Order is betting against humanity. They're betting on our weakness. They believe they can destabilize civilization and bring us down to the ashes of history. But the trap they've laid for us will be their destruction, not ours. If we
truly trust in God, and if we are valiant and have courage to speak the truth and not comply and engage in civil disobedience and not join the masses who have decided that they are the scum of the earth, who have decided that they will join with this soulless corporate system. As for InfoWars, we are going to steadfastly continue to fight in the information war with our weapon, the truth, against the enemies of humanity. We put our faith, we put our trust, we put our destiny in the hands of God. Because it's been said a trillion times, if God be with us, who can be against us?
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Welcome back to the Alex Armstrong Guest Host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. We are breaking down the long history of the connection and collusion between shadow governments, power structures, empires, and the arts, and how this ties into culture war, culture critique, and soft power. And we use the examples of a lot of people in Hollywood history, Congress for Cultural Freedom, the CIA's operations in the Cold War. And now I wanted to move forward to what's going on in the cancel culture, because this is also part of the technique and strategies that were used formerly, actually, by a lot of socialists and straight up Marxists, was the idea of humiliation sessions, struggle sessions. We see a perfect analog to today's cancel culture coming out of those socialist Marxist regimes and what they expected you to do in order to
get the blessing of the establishment and the regime again. But ironically, as everybody knows in today's society, you can't actually placate the people. It was when you went with the left, when you do your prostrations and when you do your public struggle sessions through the cancel culture, it doesn't work. Right. They just expect more. They smell blood and they want more and more and more. And that's because you're not dealing with people who are, quote, liberal. You're dealing with a liberal ideology that has evolved into a kind of pure postmodern power politics and pragmatism. And so the Enlightenment ideas of classical liberalism or the modern progressive ideas of everybody being rational and everybody operating on the principles of truth and justice, and we're all altruism and so forth, the ideas of what we would think of as liberalism or classical liberalism or modern progressivism, that has really capitulated to postmodernism, you could even say Freudianism and Nietzscheanism. Now, why do I say Nietzscheanism and Freudianism? Well, if you go to my YouTube channel, I recently did some analyses going through Dr. Jordan Peterson's lectures on personality, and he's covering a lot of important 20th century figures like Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud. And in those lectures, Dr. Peterson brings out a lot of interesting facts about symbology and psychological warfare and how these ideas and these symbols were used in fascism, Marxism, socialism, and even in Western ideology. He admits a lot of what I'm talking about back in his 2014-15 personality course lectures that are on YouTube. And he talks about how you couldn't really have Freud without Nietzsche. Because one thing that Nietzsche did in his philosophy was bring to the fore the idea that we're not actually guided in our ideology or our thought process as human beings through by reasoning and logic. Very few people are. We're actually guided by our instinctual impulses, our biological drives, sex, food, dominance, etc. Right? That was a very Nietzschean idea, that we pretend that we're guided by reasoning and by logic and by, you know, the ideals. But in reality, what's motivating us is something much more primal, much more base, much more fundamental, much more biological. This prepares the way for Freud, who then turns that into, as everybody knows, a lot of the sexual and psychoanalytical approaches to what's motivating human operations and actions and social functioning. And so this then kind of underlies, for example, a lot of symbolism when it comes to the arts, or when it comes to, say, Nazi rallies, or when it comes to socialist art, or when it comes to the art of the in 1960s, the counterculture, right? There's this idea that there's sexual repression in fascism, and so what we need is total sexual liberation, right? So Victorian era, very repressive, fascist art, repressive is the idea. Then we get total liberation, and the West adopts this total liberation model, which is why we're at the point where it's like, oh, now every boundary has to be destroyed and transgressed. Biological boundaries, sexual boundaries, all boundaries must go, because that's the internal functioning logic of absolute liberation and freedom. So you don't just see it philosophically, you also see it in the arts. That's what we see with people like Marina Abramovich or Damien Hirst, or these kinds of establishment artists that have been promoted and funded by taxpayer dollars, for example, right? Piss Christ, this kind of stuff. Those are done on purpose, supposedly to be edgy and to go against the system and go against the establishment. But they're actually just funded by the wealthiest people in the West. It's not actually anti-establishment. It's 100% establishment. It's what the establishment wants. Because if you debase the culture, if you degrade the culture and the people, they're much more malleable, much more easy to control. It's very simple, very obvious. It's basic, you know, psychological warfare. That's why the arts are always used in foreign cultures, in even military operations. So when we come to the figure of Russell Brand, what I think is going on here is pretty obvious, that this is a repeated pattern of another kind of not just struggle session and not just cancel culture as an echo of Maoism and humiliation, public humiliation rituals. It's another pattern of how the arts have to be. It's a manifestation of showing how the arts are controlled. And the people in the arts have to fit into the system, have to fit into the box. You can't step off of that reservation. Soon as you do, then what happens is the system wants to then destroy you. And what's really common is the pattern of looking for the dirt in the person's background in regard to sexual improprieties. So I don't know what Russell Brand's history is. None of us really know exactly what happened in his past. We all know that he's talked about being promiscuous in the past. Many of us, I've been promiscuous in my past. People will then look for, oh, well, then where was the person that he maybe raped? And then let's concoct the rape story. Again, maybe that, I don't know. We don't know the background. But the point is that it's not an accident that in every prominent person who comes on the scene, there is the immediate looking for what did he do in his background that we can use to destroy the person. And then people always reply by saying, yeah, but you're saying then that he's a hero. Well, I don't know. No, I'm just making the point that when Julian Assange came out with his stuff, he's immediately involved in a sexual entrapment operation. When, most recently we had this woman that claimed that Trump accosted her decades ago in a dressing room. No witnesses, just her word. And then she basically discredits herself when she says wild stuff to Anderson Cooper. Johnny Depp, right? The story, oh, Amber Heard is abused. No, it turns out Johnny Depp's vindicated in that case, right? And so people are starting to figure out that the traction of believe all women doesn't work, and it's not actually coherent. It's not true. You can't just believe all women. Doesn't mean that there aren't people that there aren't women that are, well, certainly women are abused. Certainly these things happen. But it's not the case that you just believe all women. That's ridiculous. Women, for example, ever since feminism, have demanded responsibility and rights that they perceived to not have before the rise of feminism. And so now, with all of those rights and with those responsibilities, we're seeing that, no, actually, they still want to not have rights and responsibilities for their actions, and they want to always be considered victim and always be considered correct. But again, this is just evolving into actually victim-oppressor-oppressed dynamics. Everyone's a victim, and it's actually been shown in psychological papers, the recent paper on the dark triad traits and virtuous victimhood status, a very famous paper that's going around on the internet in psychology circles. It's actually showing that very cunning and Machiavellian manipulative people are figuring out that in a society based around supposed egalitarian and equalitarian values, you can actually get ahead by claiming and constantly portraying yourself as a victim, even when it's completely not true. And with that, that's actually lying, and it's actually a disservice to real victims, you see. But people are figuring out that this is actually a technique to destroy people and to get ahead, they think. So this is also a big motivation in the cancel culture. And it shows that it's not just struggle session and control. It's actually a Machiavellian psychopathic technique to try to destroy people by which those people think that they will get ahead. That's proven in the psychology paper that I just mentioned. Everybody should go read that paper. It's a fascinating paper. It's an insight into how our society functions. This is Alex Jones. Don't go anywhere.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Welcome back to the Odd Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jason Analysis. We were talking about the intimate connections between the arts and the power elite, and this is a well-known, I guess you could say, a secret for millennia, that the arts project and they reflect the spirit, the soul of a people. And so you can degrade the arts, then you can also degrade and essentially control, debase a society as well. And so when we have a lot of what's being pushed in the public sphere, we think, a lot of people think, well, this is just, it's just sort of it's random, it's organic, it's just happening. There's no overriding connection. There's no real reason why, Piss Christ or Damien Hirst or Marina Abramovich's art is lifted up and hailed to be, you know, the preeminent great art of our time. But in reality, we see that there's a long history of this this connection, and that it is part of social engineering and social societal control. And also, when we come to the cancellation of people from the world of the arts, this also has to do with them stepping outside of the reservation and what they're allowed or supposed to say. So in the case of Russell Brand, for example, he fits into the pattern of many people who, as soon as they really go off the reservation of establishment arts or establishment politics or establishment party politics or whatever, social commentary, then comes suddenly all the skeletons in the closet of the dirt. So, again, it doesn't mean that the person didn't do things in their past. I don't know, and I don't have it. I mean, I thought Russell Brand's been saying a lot of good stuff lately. the past couple of years. And so, you know, whatever the people's motivations are, I'm happy that the truth, people are saying true things. People are coming out. That's great. So we shouldn't, I think, jump on the bandwagon of assuming that everybody who leaves the establishment or starts saying true things is a phony or a COINTEL or a shill. We don't know that. There's no point really in endless speculations about people's motives anyway, because you're never going to know ultimately people's motives. How can you judge everybody's motives from behind a computer screen or, you know, on mass media? You can't. So we're not privy to, we don't have access to people's motives. There's not really any point in trying to judge people's motives. Look to the fruit of the works, right? Look to what's happening. And, you know, it kind of, again, echoes a lot of prominent people. Remember Kavanaugh? Everybody's already forgotten Kavanaugh. I don't have any opinions on Kavanaugh per se, but, you know, as soon as he was proposed by Trump, out comes all these, you know, rape stories. Why? And it's always way past years later. People say, oh, well, you know, they didn't have a time, they didn't have a chance to come out. Well, why didn't they go to the police at the time? Right. Why are they contracting out the investigations to news organizations? Why aren't the police involved? Right. Well, isn't that who you would go to if you were really raped? I mean, wouldn't you go the next day? You know, that's what I think what you would do. But really, again, it's a tool. It's a card that the system can play, and they will really just try to find anything in the anybody's past if you rise to any level of prominence. And after a while, I think if you've seen this so many times, it doesn't really have much effect. I think to people who are becoming wise to this, it's almost like, okay, you just expect it, right? And it fits perfectly into a society where, now, you know, women are the majority of voters, as I understand, where there's the idea of a nanny state that will prioritize security and safety, supposedly, over liberty and freedom. So we're actually getting the flipping over into, now that we've been turned degenerate, we've been debased, now the society has been effectually feminized and castrated, we can have a society where the nanny state comes to the fore because its job is to protect its citizens and be a mommy to them. Right. Not even so much Big Brother. Big Brother's too patriarchal. We got to have the nanny state, the mommy state. And the mommy state's there to make everybody feel good and to give you your feelies. And then anybody who is toxically masculine is now the enemy of the nanny state. So a lot of, you know, commentators and people think, oh, well, I'll just be a masculinity or a health type of person. I won't focus on any of this. I won't talk about this kind of stuff. It's I'll avoid it and I'll live a good life by just being a health guy or a fitness guy or whatever. No. Toxic masculinity, they're now saying, is, you know, right-wing supremacy, right? It's a right-wing extremist. If you go to the gym, you're a right-wing extremist. If you want organic food, right-wing extremist. That's by design. It's not accidental, you see. But again, notice how the narratives are, they keep collapsing with each of the people. So whether it's Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, right, that narrative collapsed. Johnny Depp ended up vindicated. That, again, echoes the same situation with the idea of Me Too basically merging into tying yourself to believe all women and just accept the accusations. The scariest part is that the cancellation occurs just on the basis of accusations or allegations. No, there hasn't been, to my knowledge, in the case of Russell Brand, and I've been trying to keep up with it, so I haven't seen if there's new news reports today. I haven't seen, but at least I think there was a report yesterday about him splashing a woman decades ago. What does that mean? Mooning her? I mean, is that that's now sexual assault? I mean, they're saying basically anything could be sexual assault, right? Again, I don't know if what Russell Brand did, but the point is that it doesn't matter in the sense of whether there's not been any prosecution. Big tech wants the ability to have trial by media to destroy anybody that goes against the system of the establishment. That's the key point. That's the struggle session, power control. And by the way, I think Max Blumenthal had a great point, which was that the system does not actually obviously care about women and women being raped. If they actually cared about women and women, getting raped or something like this in a handful of cases, which is bad if it happened, then but we're supposed to believe that no, the system does care about women, even though millions of women have been murdered and killed by the Bush and Obama regime in the past few decades. Oh, but they care about a handful of cases, right? The British government as well, of women allegedly raped in the case of this or that famous person, right? So a handful of cases, it's international news. Millions of people being killed on the basis of illegal and unjustifiable wars. Absolutely, state sanctioned. Don't pay any attention to that. Again, Blumenthal's point just absolutely highlights the hypocrisy and absurdity that we're supposed to believe that the British government calling for the cancellation of a Russell Brand on Rumble, that they care about women when they push policies that destroy countries like Libya or countries in the Middle East, which kill at least, 500,000, 100,000, or a million in a few cases, right? Oh, well, those people, that's okay because what? It was ultimately for women's rights? I mean, who believes this, right? Are we destroying these countries for women's rights? No, it's for all kinds of imperialist and corporate reasons, obviously. But it's also to establish in these countries systems, neoliberal ideas, which are destructive to those countries as well. For the purpose of corporate 100, corporate or Fortune 100, Fortune 500, right? Expansion. Same situation with Ukraine. A big part of Ukraine is pipelines, energy control. Who will give energy to Europe? And it's money laundering, and it's all of that. It's all the scandals with the Biden family. Again, the establishment. What about the Hunter Biden? How many people has Hunter Biden been involved with? Was that a big deal or is that not a big deal? We don't care about that. No, only Russell Brand's case matters. Only Trump's case matters, you see, in terms of the power structure in mainstream media. Well, that's obviously absurd and it's a contradiction. And these social justice champions and activists everywhere supposedly care about morals and hypocrisy. The whole thing is immoral and hypocritical. It's absolutely a contradiction. You have Madeleine Albright, different people like this, bragging about the numbers of people that were killed, children that were killed in these wars. And but we had to do it, right? It was necessary. And on what basis? Oh, well, Saddam was connected to 9/11. No, he wasn't. Oh, well, yellow cake, weapons of mass destruction. Well, that was fake. We got to go over those countries to help the women. I mean, who actually believes this? It's crazy. Anyway, obviously, we can see that there's a lot of shenanigans and political opportunism at work here, not altruism and social justice. If you want to get my books on these topics, you can head over to my website, Jay's Analysis, and in the shop, you can get my books on culture war, culture critique, and the connection between the power structure and the arts, Esoteric Hollywood 1 and 2. Signed copies at the website, as well as my other books.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.